We got through our first football game Monday night, JV with Milbank, and nobody wanted to score, so we did three overtimes besides the regular game. So I'm really in good shape now. I'm not upset about anything. I'm not chewing you out for anything. I want to bring out some spiritual principles. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is becoming very inactive. And we've come to a place where we will praise God on a Sunday morning and then never get involved in anything else the rest of the week. And what that illustrates and what happens through that is barrenness, not only in us, but in our region. So I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 54 this morning. And what I want you to do is encourage you to allow God to minister through you, wherever you are. And that God would stretch you and God would strengthen you. And God would establish you, and God would expand your vision. Because there are times we just look through our community with our perspective. And we come to a place of seeing what we see instead of seeing what God sees. And we live with a vision that's distorted. Because every one of us can tell me what's wrong, including me, with our communities. But can we really tell what God wants to do in them? Are we willing to be stretched? Are we willing to lay it down? Are we willing to be challenged by God to step into areas we may not have ever been before? Knowing that you have security in Christ, knowing that God's grace and His Holy Spirit will lead you, and knowing when He tells you to do something, He's already there. In fact, is He told His disciples, they're going to take you, and they're even going to kill you, they're going to bring you before the authorities, and don't worry about what you're going to say, because I'm going to give you the words. And He was right. All but one, including Matthias, who took Judas's place, all but one were martyred, every one of them. Every one. And according to history, Peter said, I don't even want to be crucified. I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus was. Crucify me upside down. I told you before, and you've heard it before, faith is spelled R-I-S-K, is spelled risk. So very often we get callous to our community's surroundings. And we think that nothing's going to ever change. Now let me ask you a simple question. How many of you really believe that God has done everything that He wants to do or will ever do in our community? If you believe that, raise your hand. But every time that I find in the old revivals, in the biblical revivals, every time I see God doing something, He's doing it through people. Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria. Paul and Silas were in jail. Revivals begin to break out all over, but He used people. I do not and I will not accept universalism. that you don't have to do anything. God's going to do it all, and everybody's going to be saved. Why would we be told to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Why would we be told that you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world? God's grace is there. But we are his hands and his feet. We carry the message. What a great privilege to carry the message of Christ. To step into areas where you've never been. Step into areas that you're walking in there with fear and trembling because you're taking a risk. But allowing God to manifest his glory through you in many regions, in many areas, where there's hospitals, nursing homes, churches, street corners. How many of you have led somebody to Christ? What a thrill. It's a thrill. It's absolutely amazing. How many prayed for somebody and they were healed? What a privilege. Ray was talking to me and he had gone down and Fern, you can correct this if I tell her wrong. But he had a guy from Bemidji call him, or he was talking to, and the guy prayed for him about his kidney stones and or urinary tract stones or whatever they were. They got down to Fargo. There was none there. Is that right? Over a phone. If you're afraid of looking at people, call them. All they can do is hang up on you. Or if they get nasty, you can hang up on them. I want you to see what God is saying here. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with children. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the left, to the right, and the left. Talking about a spiritual buffet here. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. For you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of the widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Turn back to me, Isaiah 35. I understand God's talking to the nation of Israel here. Talking about the barren land. Talking about barren people. 35:1. And the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where they each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. I'm looking for a time when everything blossoms. Everyone blossoms. I'm looking for a time when we take the hand of God and we simply say, God, lead me. I am not afraid of where you're taking me. I'm not afraid of what you've called me to do. I'm not afraid of what's going on around me. I'm going to stand in the middle of darkness and I'm going to shine. Because we're going to start building. We're going to be like God and call the things that are not as though they were. We're going to come to a place where we look at desolation and darkness and sin, whether it's old agency or Sisseton or wherever it might be, and say, that is not God's way. Here is God's way. Here's what God wants to do. Do you think for a moment that God only wants to redeem a few in Sisseton and only a few in old agency and only a few around us? It's time for harvest. It's time that the light of the glory of God shines all around us. I understand that people are frustrated in this region. I understand that there's a lot of discontentment. I understand that there's a lot of depression and anxiety and worry and fear. But what are we doing through Christ to counteract that? If you are content that you and your family are saved and that's all you're concerned about, you need to be touched by God. We need to come to a place where we allow God to show us His vision. We allow God to tell us His plan for this region. We allow God to tell us His plan for Christian Outreach Center. I sat with a man this week that wants our building. I'd love to give it to him. It's not about building a church right now. It's about building the kingdom of God. It's about coming to a place where everyone in this town sees and recognizes the glory and the grace of God. And those who people have said, they'll never be saved. What happens if one Sunday morning all the park rangers walk in here and come to Jesus, and those guys that were living on alcohol and drugs and walking the streets suddenly start preaching the gospel? Why not? Why not? The barren. Two barren people I think of. One was Abraham's wife, Sarai. One was Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, in Luke chapter 1. And when Elizabeth, Zechariah told by God that you're going to have a child, and he says, who talking to me? Who are you? And the angel says, I am Gabriel. I stand before God. And he said, how do I know? And for 9 months, he never talked. He never talked till John the Baptist was born. But Elizabeth, as she went to Mary, made a statement that I've often overlooked, and I looked at it again this morning, and she looks at Mary and says, my disgrace is gone. It was a disgrace during Old Testament times for a woman to be barren. And she looked at it and said, my disgrace is gone. And there comes a time when the disgrace for our communities and the disgrace of people's lives and the old things that have happened need to be gone. And we step into fruitfulness. We step into bearing people of like kind that we are. We look into their lives and we tell them about Jesus, and we tell them about the love and the grace and the mercy, and we're not ashamed or embarrassed or worried or fearful of how they're going to respond to us. Because we all like to be accepted. Don't we? Amen? We all like to be accepted. How many have read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John lately? You're not going to tell me. It's not a trick question. How many of you know that Jesus' main concern was worried about being accepted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Wasn't worried about that. You know what he said? He said, I came to please my Father. I came to please my Father. Jesus said in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified. You honor my Father as you bear fruit. Barrenness is emptiness. Barrenness is lacking fruit. And God's inviting you to allow him to fill your life, to take control of your life, and to bear fruit. As I was looking at this yesterday and this morning, he says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. I think before I can enlarge the place of my dwelling, I need to have my vision enlarged. I really want to see what God is seeing. I really want to see what God is saying. This is the answer to your region. This is the answer to your children's life. This is what's going to absolutely, forever, affect what you're doing. I was thinking, yesterday as I was sitting at the table out here, you know, next year I'll be 70. Never planned on living that long. If I would have, I'd taken better care of myself. But I was thinking, what I don't want. In 40 or 50 years, man, Kirk will be 90. Struggling up here. Man, I'm trying to get you guys. Somebody bring me that guitar. By then, he'll go to harmonica. I don't want people driving by here or up there or wherever we are saying, you know, that's where COC used to be. That used to be a place with a vision. That used to be a place where God moved. But something happened and it just kind of crumbled. We remember the good old days. We remember those snozzes. They used to come and lead worship at all the churches for all the events. Something happened. And like everything else, they just died. I don't want that. 50 years from now, if God has not taken us home, all of us, with a great trumpet blast and the sound of the trumpet, I want COC thriving. I'll be up there yelling, get them, kids! Come on, Elliot! Come on, Taylor! Get that thing going! Your dad used to jump more than you did. Come on! You know, we don't think of that. Because of your children. How many have children under 12? We don't want to just check out and go to heaven and leave them with no heritage. As I was reading this prayer I'm going to give you in a few moments, It struck me because what struck me was about the children. We know who the King of Heaven is. He's Jesus. Have mercy on our land. Revive your church. Send the Holy Spirit. For the sake of the children, may your kingdom come to our nation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. It's not the prayer. It's the spirit of those praying it. And if we can get together every morning, not here, you're in your home and I'm here and people are, and but we pray this prayer believing that God is going to respond and change even more so than what he's doing. I was pastoring 20 miles from Clarence St. John, who's district superintendent of Minnesota of the Assembly of God. He and I were born the same year, the same day, but I was younger because he was born in the morning and I was born in the afternoon. We were both born on Sundays. He was born in time to go to church. I wasn't. Hibbing at that time and the steel mills or the iron taconite plants were growing at a great rate. I was visiting with Clarence one day and he says, "You know, Dwight, we've grown by 2,000 people this year in Hibbing. But our church has only grown by 40. He said, "I only lost 1,960. Enlarge the place of your dwelling. Stretch out your curtains. Let God stretch you. Let God stretch you. I want to be stretched. There's a stretching going on in the body of Christ where we're just absolutely radically open to whatever God wants to do and whatever God wants to do in your life. He's stretching us. He stretched me with all these meetings and stuff going for IWT. And yeah, I murmur. Got another one at 4:30 today on Viking Day. And we'd all at times like to be doing other things, but God's stretching us with a purpose and with a design for what's coming. He's stretching your capacity to hear from God. He's stretching your capacity to receive from His Spirit. He's stretching your capacity to look at people in grace and love and mercy and not be afraid of what they've done or even what they're doing, but coming to a place where you see God's heart for them and you reach into God's heart and you apply it to people. He's stretching you with compassion so that you see the dying and the hurting and the sick. You realize that there's something I can do about it. Last week, as I was done preaching the little gal's funeral that got killed, I walked by this young man with a brace on his knee. Fern knows him pretty well. And he had knee surgery. But I looked at him and I said, "Todd, what's going on?" He says, "Well, I got an infection in the knee they operated on, and with sugar diabetes, if it doesn't go away, they're going to take my leg." So I said, "God bless you," and we moved on. I did my part. No. I said, "Todd, would you mind if I prayed for you?" Why? Because that's what Jesus would have done. He would have healed him. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen the stakes. Take a risk. Come to a place where we're just allowing God to do what God does. God's never inactive. God's never silent. The only time I hear about God being silent is during the tribulation period when they're opening the trumpets or the bowls or something. There's silence in heaven for a half hour. But God's speaking, and he's speaking to you. And he's explaining his grace, his mercy, and his love, not only for you, but to everyone you come in contact with. I greatly desire to see a new building. But that's not God's first priority. His first priority is people. God's concerned about people. And my prayer is we don't lose focus of people. That we begin to feel and think and act as God does. Because he wants this region blossoming. Is it dependent on me? No. Dependent on you? No. Dependent on God who wants to work it through us to establish his kingdom right here, right now. And you can look at it and you can tell God there's more important things. You can tell God that, well, I have my own vision. I have my own perspective. And he's not going to strike you with lightning. He doesn't do that. He's simply asking that you'd allow him to give you his perspective. His perspective. I was listening to somebody quote some scripture, and I wanted to say something the other night, but I didn't. There's a Bible verse in Ezekiel that says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and because they've rejected knowledge, I will destroy your children." A lot of people use that as a threat. I'm not using it that way today. The reason the children are destroyed is because we've lost the knowledge. People have lost the knowledge of God, and their kids are never taught. When I'm 108 years old walking down these aisles with a walker, no, maybe I'll be like Caleb, be 85 and still dancing. No, I can't do that now. I got to think of something I can do now. I want to see your children here praising God. I want to see your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren praising God. I want to see that we have succeeded in taking a generation that's in dire need of Jesus Christ and raising it up because we responded to the call of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to happen. We can all walk out of here this morning saying, well, pastor must have ate something last night that was bad. Or we can walk out of here this morning with a vision of what God wants to do. God has no favorites. Every one of us sitting here is just as important as the other person. But every one of us sitting here has a choice to make. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? I'm not talking about your occupation. I'm talking about, are we going to seek God and have God speak into our hearts and stretch us, strengthen us, expand us, and walk in His vision? Or are we going to do business as usual? You can do business as usual. God still loves you, but not much gets accomplished. Every once in a while, I have to stop and say, Dwight, what's your focus? What are you focusing on? What's our focus today? And my prayer is that not only will we pray this prayer together each morning, even though we're in separate locations, but we'll be part of the reviving. We'll be part of bringing the kingdom of God to this region in a way that we've never seen it before. Because there are things happening now that people's never seen before to the extent it's going to be. Somebody said there are three kinds of people in the world. There's those who make things happen. There's those who watch things happen. And there are those who ask, what's happening? We all fit in one of those. Jesus went in Mark chapter 1 and said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Come to a place of believing that God wants you to be anointed, to walk out in power, to walk in His glory, and to share this wonderful life in Jesus Christ. And step into places where you may have never thought of going, but God will lead you there. And when you're there, He'll never abandon you. We know there's a lot of ministry needed here. We know that there's still healing that needs to come between our native friends and the white person. We know that reconciliation is for this region. In fact, is 3 weeks from today, Joe Donnell, native brother, is going to be ministering here. And we want to see God just move mightily in this church, in this community, in every church for the glory of God. I remember one thing from Pensacola. Maybe more than one thing. But I remember, I don't even remember who it was. It was John Kirkpatrick or Michael Brown. But somebody stood up and said, we want Pensacola to be a community. When somebody drives in and they ask, where's the revival? And they say, it doesn't matter what church you go to, there's revival in them all. That's my heart's desire. It's not about COC. I'm not focused on preaching Christian Outreach Center. We preach a Jesus Christ, and we want him active in every church in this community. Amen?